Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and glory.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We come to bless your holy name. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Woo! I'm just so excited. Every Saturday morning, I have my alarm set, but it doesn't have to alarm because the Lord wakes me up bright and early because he wants us to praise him, and he deserves us to praise him. And this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, honey. We've been up this morning, but I just want to say good morning to you again. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Good morning. And I am just so blessed and so happy to just be in the land of the living and just glad to be even in the season that we're in. It's just a glorious day, and God is blessing. We just are rejoicing even in what God has been doing for us, even as recent as yesterday.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, honey, you want to open us up with prayer?
Yes, let's all look to the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you because you are good. We thank you because you are awesome. We thank and praise you because you are mighty in our lives. Father, you have just been faithful, and we just appreciate you, and we just want to let you know right now that we appreciate you. We magnify your name. You are full of glory. You are awesome, and we love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we just come right now because you said that if we just come in the name of Jesus asking anything, that it shall be done. Father, we just pray that your will is done in this time right now, during this hour, that souls will be ministered to, that testimonies will come forth. In the name of Jesus, you have done so much. You have been so good. You have been so faithful. And we just can't help but praise you. That's why David said, all that's within me, bless his holy name. I understand, and we just look to you right now. Hallelujah, the author and the finisher of our faith. You are our beginning, our ending. You are everything in between. You are our provider. You are our keeper. You are our savior. Hallelujah. You are our father. You are our all in all, and we just look to you right now, Lord, praying that your anointing will go over these airways right now and throughout all cyberspace, however your word is going forth throughout this world. Lord God, we pray that your anointing go with it. Let testimonies be anointed. Let them reach those who you have ordained to hear these words. And let everyone, Lord God, be obedient to the urging of your Holy Spirit to speak the words of testimony. For you are good, you are mighty,
yes, yes,
you are
yes.
Great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. We love you, we praise you, we magnify you, we adore you. Hallelujah. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Those who are sick, hallelujah, and need to hear the word of faith for healing, let that word go forth and let their ears be open and in tune to hear what thus saith the Lord, that they will receive their healing. Those that are discouraged, let encouraging words come to them and minister to them. those who are lonely, let them understand through the word of the testimony that they are not alone, that they are never alone, but that you are with them always. And then, Lord God, send your angels to encamp round about them and minister to them. And then, Lord God, send the people of God to rally around them, that they will understand that they are not alone. In the name of Jesus, those that are just unstable right now, speak peace, just as you did on the sea. Speak peace in their mind, in their home, Lord God. Every rocky marriage right now, speak peace in their home. Every rocky relationship between mother and daughter, father and son, siblings, Lord God, speak peace into their relationship. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Those that seem that they have no hope, let them realize that they are full of hope, and that their hope is in you. Your word says, hope thou in the Lord. Let them know that if they put their hope and their trust in you, hallelujah, Lord God, then show them your strength, your power, your might, your salvation. In the name of Jesus, that one who is even contemplating suicide right now, hallelujah, we speak a life. We speak life. We speak life. We speak life right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And a will to live. Hallelujah. And their sights turn toward you and the hope that they find because of the words of the testimony in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless this host, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And even our main host, hallelujah, bless right now in the name of Jesus. Grant the desires of their hearts. Show them, Lord God, continually the way that you have for these ministries to go. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, honey, for that prayer. I'm just so excited. I'm just so excited for the broadcast and the things that God has done, and we invite you that listen in over the internet to give us a call and let us hear how you're being blessed by the broadcast. And as promised, I'm so excited. Some people just don't want to be over, you know, their voices heard, but for whatever reason, I can understand that. But I have created an email address that you can send your email testimonies to us, and we'll read them, and we'll keep them anonymous if you want us to. But, you know, sometimes, honey, people just don't want, you know, to be on blast, as the young people would say. And I can understand that, because I've always felt that way. I always wanted to be in the background and not really to give, you know, I didn't mind testifying, but when the Lord called me into the ministry, it was so frightening to me. But anyway, the email address is theyovercame2013@gmail.com. Again, the email address is theyovercame, the numbers 2013@gmail.com. So we'll be looking forward to your emails of the testimonies that you have for the Lord. God is doing such great and miraculous things. I'm so excited. As my husband was saying a little earlier, we're excited about the things that God is doing for us right now. And we have a testimony ourselves this morning of how the Lord will make a way seemingly out of no way. a few weeks ago, our car was in an accident, and it was totaled. No one was hurt, but we lost our vehicle. And because of the insurance, thank God, we had full coverage. So the insurance totaled it, and then they, you know, paid off what they felt the car was worth. Well, it was shy of about $3,000. You know, when you drive a car off of the lot, it depreciates then, and we're in what they call upside down. You're upside down. When you drive a car, especially a new car, when you drive it off the lot, you're already upside down in it because it depreciates as soon as you take it off the lot. Well, we had this $3,000 amount that we owed on the car, praise God. And so in our prayers, we asked the Lord to eliminate that. Well, when the insurance paid off the amount that they were going to pay, we did not immediately call. Well, we were actually waiting. Weren't we waiting, honey, for them to call us and tell us something?
Yeah, I just note that you kept declaring, and I would agree. And I just thank God for your faith. I think God really blessed me with you. In fact, I know God really blessed me with you because of your faith and how you just declared that the car, that it would be paid off, that the debt would be paid off. And I was looking at the facts, and I've said before that there's a difference between what's factual and what's truth, because God's word is true. The facts don't always come up to what God's word says. And his word does say that he will supply our every need. And you just kept declaring that, I just believe they're going to pay that off. And then when the notification came, this is how much we're going to pay. This is what we value it at, and we take out your deductible, and this is what we're going to pay. And it was about $3,000 short. And so, but by that time, I was on board with you. So I was just looking for that to, since the insurance didn't pay it all off, I just looked for the finance company to just write the rest of it off. And that's what we were standing and believing on. And I never really said anything, but every day I kept looking at the account, expecting it to change from the $3,000 to something around zero or something like that. And then lo and behold, and then you can go on with the rest of the story, Clark.
He's trying to steal my testimony. No, it's our testimony. But anyway, we were, like my husband said, we were waiting, you know, and we did not have $3,000, and we needed another vehicle. Well, my husband finally called the insurance. No, he called the place that we had purchased the car, honey?
Yes.
Okay.
It was the same place that was, because they get their own financing.
Okay. And so when he called and talked with the representative, lo and behold, the representative told him, God is so awesome, that all we would have to pay, she said, well, did you want to get another car? Because we had gone to other dealerships looking for cars and was not really, you know, satisfied with what we were hearing. Also, they were telling us that they wanted us to resolve that amount that was owed on the car that was totaled. So we were still looking to God, not anxious, not worried. I kept proclaiming that, you know, the when the Lord is ready for us to have a car, we'll have one. And, you know, we were just waiting in expectancy of what the Lord was going to do. Well, when he called and talked to the dealership or the finance company of the dealership, they said, well, did you want to get another car? And my husband said, well, yes, we did. And she said, well, all you have to do is pay $124. I'm rounding it off, $124. And so my husband said he was sitting there and he was waiting for, okay, and she said, just go to the dealership and pick out a car, and, you know, that $3,000 will be wiped out. Hallelujah. And so my husband came in, and he came in, and he said, you know what, God is funny. He is funny. He said, he told me what the woman said, and we just laughed together and thanking God for just wiping out that amount. The thing that we had declared that was going to happen is exactly what he did. Hallelujah. You know, you just can't beat God. And the way that he does things is just so miraculous and so awestruck. I'm awestruck at the things that God has done. Now, we still have, you know, issues that we're dealing with, but God has proven himself. What's the song that we used to sing, honey? I love those old songs. He keeps proving himself over and over and over again. God just keeps on proving himself over. And is that how the song goes, honey?
Actually, I'm not sure of that one, but I can't think of it right now. But, I mean, yeah, that certainly is true of God. Just every day in so many ways, he just keeps on and keeps on and keeps on and just keeps on. Keeps on blessing us, keeps on showing us. And I don't know which song you were speaking of, but I know when we first got married and I came to Chicago, there was a song that the choir sang that, and part of that song says, didn't I show you? Didn't I just prove to you? Or, and then it even goes on to say, and I guess this is another song, but I just keep on showing you. And then there's that other song that says, how many times must I show how much I love you? And he just keeps on doing great things for us.
Yes, Lord. Yes, he does. I'm just thanking God. I am in all, and not really in all, because God has done so many things for us. Sometimes we forget, you know, about the many blessings that God has blessed us with. I'm reminded, hallelujah, of when we were back home and we were given a prophecy that we were going to move into a new house. Well, we were living in a house, in a home, and, you know, I grabbed hold to that and even started going out and buying containers to pack stuff up with. So, remember that, honey? And I started going to the store and getting those plastic containers for us to pack things up with. And we packed, and probably it should have been a clue to us that the Lord was saying, those things that you're packing away, you can get rid of those. We didn't. We didn't, but We packed and we waited for our home for 7 years. Don't get weary. Don't. When you have a word from God and it doesn't happen right when you are given the word, don't leave it. Don't leave it there. Don't think that God is not going to come through with the promise. It's something that you desire. It's something that you have asked God for, and if it's in his will, and it is his will, he said that I wish above all things that you prosper in your health and in your life. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to be healthy and wealthy. You know, wealth is not always in money, but wealth is in our relationships, in our life. We God wants us to prosper, and how we waited for that home, and we every year we never gave up on it. Remember, honey, in Hebrews it talks about not casting away your confidence because it has great reward. Hallelujah.
Great recompense of reward. Yes.
Yes, great recompense of reward, and how we just kept believing God. And every new year, we would, as we were in our circle praying, you know, at home with our sons, and we'd say, this year is going to be the year that God is going to bless us with a home. And we put feet to our face. We went out and we looked at homes, and we looked at homes that were not even in our pay scale. We were looking at homes that, you know, that we knew that God, we would have to be God that gave us those homes. And oh my God, we just every year we would thank the Lord and tell him, yes, this is going to be the year that we're going to move. And in 2000, we were praying and thanking the Lord for getting a home. And in toward the end of January, I believe it was, you were called by the company that you were working for then, and was told that you had been recommended. It wasn't even anything that you applied for. You had been recommended for a position in the Atlanta, Georgia area. Is that right, honey? Okay, I can't hear you. Honey, can you hear me? Because I can't hear you over the phone, so I don't know what's happening. I don't know if the audience can hear you. That's my concern. But go ahead. I can't hear you, no. Not over my phone, I can't.
As the call came in, what I did was I just thought that that would be some kind of interview or something. And but lo and behold, by the time the conversation ended, they indicated they gave me a call back, and it was just to tell me when to report to work. So it was just awesome how God did that.
Amen. Amen. I hope you got a chance to hear that. I hope you got a chance to hear that. Can you hear me, honey, over your phone? I hope the audience got a chance to hear that, but he was just saying that how he received the call, and the call was because he had been referred for a position in the Atlanta, Georgia area, and how they interviewed him over the phone, and then in the next few days, they called him and told him when to report to the, wasn't even an interview. They just called him and told him when to report. And he left first, and then the boys and I followed later how we went down there, and we had received another prophecy from a cousin of mine, Evangelist Phyllis Johnson, and she told us that she saw us in, she said, I saw you in a house, and she said, I think the house was white, and it had a white fence around it, and she said, but the only thing is, it's not in the area that you live in now, and so she said, well, I didn't want to tell you because I didn't know if you were open for moving out of the area. And I was like, oh, yes, absolutely I am. Leave these cold, this cold Chicago weather. I said, yes, yes, as long as there's no place going. So anyway, we had been for the 7 years looking at houses. So my husband knew what I wanted in a home, and he picked out two houses for us, the boys and I, to come down and look at to decide out of those two houses which one we wanted. Well, we went to the one, and I wasn't really excited about it. Being from Chicago, we've always had a basement, and for some reason, I just wanted a basement. Well, with three sons, if any of you have any boys, you know exactly what I mean. I wanted a basement. Well, we looked at the one house, and I was like, oh, okay. So then when we went to the other house, I got excited. The house was white. It didn't have a white fence around it, but it had a what they call a rocking chair porch. It was not a huge porch, but just a little porch that had a white
banister.
Banister around it. Thank you, honey. And I got excited. Well, this was a new house. So the first house that we looked at was not new. It was a nice house, but this one was two-story, had a full basement, had plenty of land around it, had a deck that was the length almost of the whole house, and it had a patio underneath the deck that you could walk out the basement. Oh, I was in love. This is the house for me, honey. This is the house that I want. And so we looked at the house. We prayed over the house. And then the boys and I went back to Chicago because we hadn't moved yet because we didn't have a place to live there. So our home in Chicago was on the market, but we didn't have a buyer. We had not had a buyer at that point. So I guess after the boys and I got back, shortly after that, the company called, or someone called and told my husband that we could start the financing on the house. And so we called the realtor and told her to start the financing on the house, and she said, well, congratulations on selling your house there. And we're like, no, we didn't sell the house here. And she said, oh, she said, well, they said that you're not supposed to start the financing until you sell your house in Chicago. So we, you know, puzzled because the company called us and told us to call the real estate company and tell them to start the process. So she said, well, let me call, make a call, and I'll give you a call back. Well, she called us back, and she said, well, they said to start the financing on the house, hallelujah. She didn't say hallelujah. I said hallelujah because we know that it was nothing, 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 nothing but God moving on our behalf. We started the process. We closed on the house. Still have not, did not have a buyer for our home in Chicago. But God just keeps proving himself, hallelujah, over and over and over again, hallelujah. We moved into the home, and listeners, it was such a blessing. It was such a blessing. Our boys moved in and got settled in school, and it was just, and God just kept proving himself, and he does. He proves himself over and over again, and I always declare that I will not be like the Israelites. God kept doing miracle after miracle after miracle in the lives of the Israelites, and they kept forgetting the things that he did, and they kept worrying and pestering and coming down on Moses because of their lack of faith in the God that was leading them by a pillar of cloud in the day. They were walking through the desert, and he didn't let the sun over a million people. He never let the sun beat down on them. At night, a pillar of fire that protected them, because they say in the desert at night it gets severely cold, but they came from Egypt, which is a hot climate. So to be out in the desert at night, had they not had the pillar of fire that was with them at night, they could have fallen to death. But still, they doubted God. They still were not able to grasp this great God when he split the sea, the Red Sea, so that they can walk over on dry ground. Splitting the sea wasn't enough. He dried the ground so that they would not get stuck in the mud, because don't you know that water makes mud, and mud is sticky. But they were able to cross over, hallelujah, but they still doubted God. When he fed them that, I said, Lord, and I declare it all the time, I will not, hallelujah, be like the Israelites. I will remember everything that you do, Lord. And if I don't thank you, hallelujah, hallelujah, at that time, I'm going to thank you at some point. I'm going to. It's so many things that we need to be thankful for. There, how we have testimonies that seem so slight to us, that seem like they're insignificant. But don't you know, when we went to bed last night, there was somebody that didn't wake up this morning, hallelujah, somebody that in their sleep went on to glory or went to hell last night. There was somebody that woke up that had a stroke during the night, and they were not able to speak, hallelujah, but we have the activities of our limbs. They're not able to get up out of the bed, hallelujah, but we don't want to give God praise. We don't want to give God glory for the things that he's done. Hallelujah. Not me. Hallelujah. I will praise God and As I'm thinking about it, honey, I'm thinking about all the testimonies, the miraculous testimonies that we have had since we started in November, I believe it was, honey, that we started the broadcast in November.
Yeah, I believe it was November, sometime around that time of year. Yeah, we have had some glorious testimonies, and as you even began to go into today's broadcast and gave the email address, noting that people, you said sometimes they don't want to be heard, but, you know, I think about the scripture, just let this be an encouragement to someone, if you're thinking along this, like the Bible says in Psalms 105:1, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people." God glories in our testimonies. And the more we thank him and appreciate him, and so the word appreciation is a very interesting and intriguing word to me that I think people don't realize it and they misuse it. But when something is appreciated, that means it increases in value. And we are to just magnify and increase, you know, just really appreciate what God has done. And one main way we can show that appreciation is just tell people what God has done for us.
Amen, amen. And as I was thinking about the different testimonies that we have had, I'm just going to go over a few of them because I'm still at awe at God and so thankful for the people that have called in and have given the testimonies. I thank the Lord for Evangelist Adrian Bernard that has given us this opportunity to have this broadcast where people can call in and give their testimonies. Now, Evangelist Adrian has a broadcast weekly, daily, actually, that she does, New Destiny Ministries, where she has ministers to minister to the people and gives a pulpit, per se, to ministers that maybe don't have a pulpit that they can stand in front of but have a word for the Lord. And we all have a pulpit because the world, the scripture says that the harvest is white. So we're all to minister that way, but she gives us a pulpit to ministers, and that's what the Lord has called her to do. But our segment is for people to call in and to give testimonies. And you may not be a minister. You may not be an evangelist or a bishop or a pastor, but every one of us has a testimony for the Lord. Every one of us has something that we can say for the Lord. Sister Adrian was our first guest, and she has so many testimonies. Just a woman that I admire, but she gave her testimony about how she was riding down the highway and how her vehicle started hydroplane. Is that what it is, honey? Hydroplane?
Hydroplane, yes. Yeah, that's correct.
Yes, and how her car spun around several times, and then when it stopped, it was going the wrong direction, and because she was kind of discombobulated from the incident, she started driving that way, and how the Lord didn't allow hallelujah, her to have an accident, but allowed her to be able to turn when she realized that she was going in the wrong direction, allowed her to be able to turn around without incident. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. She was telling us how as she lost control of the car, she just started calling on Jesus, calling on Jesus. He is our strong tower. He's the one that we should call on when things are not going right for us, when we're in danger, or even when we just want to praise him. That's the name to call. Hallelujah, is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The blood of Jesus. And I was saying on last week, I don't know if you had gone, honey, because you had to step out last week. You had a meeting that you had to attend. But I was saying how I was listening to the ministries, television ministries, and how one of the pastors was saying that we've lost that, what the old saints used to do. And that's pleading the blood of Jesus. It's the power is in the blood. And we are in the time. Hallelujah. And I guess that's why I feel so joyful today, is because we are in the time of Jesus. I always think about him down there snatching the keys and beating up on the devil and his imps. He didn't even have to physically fight them, just his look. The Bible says that in Thessalonians that the brightness of his coming, hallelujah. Oh, my God, I just carried away, honey. You want to say something?
No, go ahead.
Well, I always think about him, you know, this day before he rose, how he's whipping on the head of the enemy and taking the keys from him. And, you know, just that's the way I see it. That's the way I see it. I always have thought of it like that, but the blood of Jesus and how on yesterday, as it would be, that he hung his head and said, "It is finished." He did it all. He took care of every sickness, every disease, infirmity. If we just believe God. And, yes, we're going to have some people that are going to be infirmed. And, yes, we're going to have some people that die. But we're going to have some people that if we just believe God, if we just totally give ourselves over to God, God is still in the healing business. God is still in the raising of the dead. I talked to someone on last week, and she was telling me how she thought that healing was not for this time. And I didn't debate with her because we've had this conversation over and over again. But I felt sorry for her because I said, "Lord," I said, "I know you're still healing." And that puts me in mind of several calls that we have had on healing. We had Pastor Evangelist Tijana, I can't think of her last name, but she was our second guest, and she just talked about how the Lord has raised her up from deathbed, and how she and her husband were in ministry, and you know how many times she was at death's door, and how God has raised her up. A fine young woman that we met when we were living in Georgia. She was a teenager when we met her, and she's still a young woman in her 20s, I believe, or maybe her early 30s, I'm not sure. But how the Lord healed her many times from a deathbed, and you know how she and her husband are not pastoring now, but they're going on to do the things of God. She has started a ministry to help women, and I just can't believe that someone with the testimonies, and that's why, saints, we have to give our testimonies so that people can hear about the things that God is doing. And then I'm reminded of Minister Cornell, we call him C.C. Richardson, how he was dead. He was dead, flatlined many times, but his spirit was out of his body, and how his wife and the saints prayed him back, and God gave him his life back. He was dead. It's recorded in his testimony. He said it's recorded that he was dead. They gave him, when you die, they say it's 8:51 a.m. They had given him a time when he died, and God raised him back up. This is not I can't think of his name, who Jesus raised from the dead.
Lazarus.
Yes, Lazarus. This is not Lazarus. This is not something that we're reading. This is something that God is doing right now, right here, where we can see people that we can touch, people that we can talk to and have their testimony. And then we had Bishop Corinthus Patterson, and how he fell 50 feet. Was it 50 feet, honey? From his ceiling, he was in his up in his attic repairing something, and he fell through the floor. And I'm not good at distance, but 50 feet, honey, is that not?
I'm not sure if it was 50 feet, but he was somewhere up in his attic and then fell down onto the attic floor and then through down to the other floor. So that's still a long way. He fell probably over a story from where he was in his attic.
Yes, and how he fell in a washroom. He fell in a bathroom, and he said it's a small bathroom. And he said, but God let him fall in a way that he didn't hit his head. He could have hit his head on the sink. He could have hit his head on the toilet. He could have hit his head on the bathtub. But God put him down so that he did not hit any of those things and fell on his hip, broke several bones, and was in a bad way. And how God raised him up. He was not supposed to be able to walk, and then they thought he'd be walking with a cane until February. And I think he fell, I saw it on Facebook, I think he fell in like October or maybe September, late September, and how God allowed him to walk into the doctor's office 2 months before the doctor said that he would be walking, and how when he walked into the doctor's office, the nurses and the people that were there just started applauding because they knew from his life, and I'm sure knowing Bishop, that he talked about Jesus and talked about his faith in God and how God was going to raise him up, and, you know, how he was thanking the Lord for, I mean, thanking the doctors for what they were doing, but his trust was in God and how God just proved himself over and over again. Saints, we have a wonderful, miraculous God who's still in the healing business. He's still in the delivering business. He's still doing things in our lives. I'm reminded of our nephew, Reverend Timothy Hayes, who was at an early age living in Kansas City selling drugs. He said that he had been stopped many times by the police. He said he was stopped one time by the police and he had been smoking marijuana in the car. And so when he said when he rolled down the window, the smoke probably blew in the police officer's face. And he said, but the police officer didn't even arrest him. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. And now he is a young man. He's in seminary. And he's actually my husband's nephew, a great nephew. He's our great nephew. Right, honey?
Yeah, that's my niece's son.
Okay, I guess you don't want to talk today, huh, honey? But
no, that is my niece's son. Yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, you know, we're still, our God is still delivering. Our God is still delivering. Our God is still blessing. And I'm reminded of our son, who the Lord, we saw go through a school. Go through a school that we didn't have to pay for. A school that cost $12,000 a year to go to that we didn't have to pay for. Don't tell me that God is not still delivering. Don't tell me that God is still not healing. Don't tell me God is not still raising people from the dead. I just felt so sorry for my friend that I talked to. She believes God and she believes in, I don't know what she believes in, but but she doesn't believe that healing is for this time. And I'm seeing it, saints. I'm seeing what God is doing around me. I'm seeing what God is doing in my life. And I know that God is still doing these things. So please send in, if you don't want to call in, please send in your emails to me so that I can read them over the air. We are reaching, we had a call from the UK, so we're reaching around the world, and maybe some of you don't want to call in because of the places that you are, but send your emails in. That email address is theyovercame2013@gmail.com. theyovercame, the numbers 2013@gmail.com. So send in your testimonies. God is still in the blessing business. God is still delivering. God is still healing and raising the dead. He still is. And people need to know that. Somebody is going to be encouraged. When my husband prays every week, he always prays that this will reach someone that needs to hear it. And as the theme of our broadcast, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of of their testimony. So call in and give your testimony. And we have some callers, and I'm going to go to our callers, and I just praise God for the callers that have called in. And we're going to the 408 area code right now. 408 area code, are you there? Okay, 408, you don't want to talk? Okay, that's fine. Just thank you for joining us this morning. And then we have area code 209, and the first three numbers are 956. Are you there?
Yes, praise the Lord, everybody. Minister Billy, it's just a blessing. I'm normally on the air with Vandis Bernard all week long. And I didn't go on yesterday because I just sort of didn't feel I was out of whatever. But something woke me up, and I said, well, I don't, you know, I have a testimony every day, but not like a major, like you said, because before I didn't come on your broadcast, I think I was on there one time prior, but it was like for great testimonies or whatever. But you have a testimony every day that, and
yes,
especially on this time. And I says, I'm going to get on because you get the Jesus Christ is a testimony every day, because when you're saved and he saved you, that's another one that's a great testimony that's
yes,
delivered out of darkness into his marvelous light to go
yes,
forth to be a witness for the world and for his ministry and for the family of God. So it's just a blessing. I just thank the Lord. I think I mentioned to y'all before, I was just excited to hear your husband and you with this team. It's
yes,
just a blessing. And you say, oh, honey, and he answers, oh, yeah. And I say, oh, this is what marriage is supposed to be about, huh? So I'm excited for it, and I woke up, something said, well, I was thinking about coming on last, you know, but before our rest came on. But I woke up later and was like, I said, I'm still going to call in because you got on the air with your son, I think a week or week and a half ago, and you were giving us your ministry and the broadcast and the time in the air and said, well, come on. Come and visit us. So I'm visiting
yes,
you this morning, and I just that he rose from the grave, death, hell, and he took the keys, and we have a right to the tree of life from, you know, from now. And he gave
yes,
us the same power that he had. Pray my strength in the Lord.
Amen, amen. Thank you for calling
amen,
in. Is this Sister Parker?
No, Sister Ruby Larry.
Sister Ruby,
I'm normally on with Evangelist Bernard. I started out 15 months ago with the broadcast.
Okay. Well, God, and we thank God for Sister Adrian giving us this time.
Yes,
for God to get the glory, and I so admire her for the work that she's doing and that both of you guys are doing.
Yes.
You know, it's something to be able to every day to, and I call her pastor. She laughs, but I call her pastor. I said, because you're doing more than some pastors do. They're not ministering every day. They're ministering, you know, maybe a couple, maybe three or four times a week, but you're ministering 6 days a week, and God has given her the grace to do that, and I just thank the Lord for both of you. Thank you for...
you're welcome. And I thank you. Listen, I think you were in the background of Minister Billy, because we used to get your husband all the time on the Saturday. And
yes,
I mean, it was just like every time he came on, I'd say, thank you, Jesus. You know, my heart burned within. So it's a blessing
oh,
y'all as a duel.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And we're going to go to the next caller. And it's a 209 number also, and the first three numbers are 271. Are you there?
This is me, Billy. God bless you.
Oh, amen, amen. What number? Okay. Amen. Sister Pastor Adrian Bernard. How are you today?
I'm blessed. I went to bed late and I set this alarm and got up and I was supposed to call right on in on time and I took another snooze and I said, oh, Lord, I'd have missed the show.
Well, amen. We thank God for you being here. And I was giving on last week, I promised, I don't know if you heard, I'm going to give it again anyway, the email address that I created for testimonies to come in, you know, people that don't want their voice to be heard online. And I was telling my husband I can understand how they feel about it. But that email address is theyovercame2013@gmail.com. And so please send your testimonies in. We'd rather for you to call in and give your testimonies, but if you choose not to, we have created an avenue that you can still get your testimonies out. We'll keep your name anonymous if you want us to, but we would prefer for you to call in. But if you don't call in, please just send your testimonies in, because the world needs to know what our God is doing for us. And we thank the Lord for you, Sister Adrian. Did you want to share something with us today?
I wanted to see if I had invited Apostle Johnson to come on. He lived there in your area, not Apex. He's in North Carolina, so he has a 910 area code. So I was trying to see if he was on. I wanted to introduce him to you and to Elder Burns. And I hear Sister Ruby on the line. God bless you, Sister Ruby. Amen. Amen. So she certainly has been with us from the inception, a great supporter of this ministry. We just thank God for her. So I didn't know if Apostle Johnson was on the line. Do you see a 910 area code?
No. No, I don't.
No? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, maybe he didn't make it on this morning, but he told me he would. So anyway, I wanted to introduce him to you since he's there in North Carolina, too. I told some of those Carolinas, I said, now you all eat in the morning, you all, because y'all up on the same time zone with Minister Billy, so y'all support her down there in the Carolinas. We have a good bit of Carolina callers that call into the broadcast every day. So I told them to call in on Saturdays. I want them to start calling in and supporting this broadcast, so we'll make that happen also.
Amen, amen. Well, we just thank God for you, and the Lord has, and not to slight anybody, but the Lord has those that he wants to call in, to call in, and just give us a chance to, express ourselves, my husband and myself.
So yeah, that 48 number is maybe Sister Carter. She usually says something. So that 408 number is Sister Carter,
okay.
And she's also a supporter of the broadcast, call in every day when she possibly can. So that may be her number that she may have not heard you.
That you called on earlier.
So, God
okay.
bless you.
Amen. Well, we were just recapping the many testimonies that the Lord has allowed to come on the broadcast and bless us, you know, to hear the different ministries. And you didn't hear our testimony earlier. The Lord blessed us with another vehicle. I told you that we had an accident and our car was totaled. So God is good. I was you know, just so thankful to God for the car, of course, but more so thankful for the Lord just proving himself to us again and again. And not at this point, I say proving himself, but just blessing us. He just does so many things, and I don't ever want to not give him his praise and give him his glory, because he is so deserving of all the glory and all the praise that we can give to him. He just deserves it, and we don't think about the small things. We've heard so many people that our marriage, my husband and I, our marriage, people are blessed by just our marriage. So we thank God for that, because it was God that put us together. Right, baby?
Amen.
I often tell him, I don't know what you did wrong to get me, but I'm glad you did it. Oh, that's funny to me. It's funny. You there, honey?
I'm here. I did. I prayed, and God answered my prayer. I followed his lead, and he just blessed me. That's what I did wrong. I trusted.
Amen. We were. He tried not to meet me. He was supposed to come to Chicago from Kansas with a mutual friend. And he told me that you were ironing your last shirt, honey. Did you say you were ironing your last shirt?
Yeah, it was time to go, and I had one more shirt to iron, and I just finished it to put it in the bag. And once I finished ironing that, or I think I was on the last sleeve or something, and I picked up the phone and I called my friend that was going to be on the road with me. I said, Tony, I'm not going to Chicago, man. And he said, all right, man. He said, I was just riding with you. So that was that. I thought that was a wrap. But then lo and behold, God was up to something.
That was the devil, honey.
It was just timing being worked out.
Oh, okay. And what else happened?
Well, lo and behold, you know, later, and I think that was probably one of the holidays, like Memorial Day or I think Memorial Day weekend that I would have been coming. And then later that summer for the convention, the summer convention, which was in D.C., again, me and my boy Tony, because we just ran together. We were at the convention and got separated there in the lobby, but I heard his voice. He called me because he had run into this mutual friend that was supposed to be introducing us. And when I went over, I saw Daphne and was glad to see her. And then she introduced me to her friend. Said, this is my friend, Billy Carter. And I was like, oh, I recognize that name. I was supposed to come and meet you a couple of months ago. But God just worked it out anyway. We met just not on happenstance, but God hooked us up right then. And I just know that God was moving in me. And I think, you know, the funny part of this story is that once we met and spent that evening, in church together and then just fellowshipping, And I guess the next day, and to this day, I mean, I just absolutely don't remember. I guess it was an out-of-body experience. But my sister tells the story of how that next day I called back to Kansas City and said, Louise, I have met my wife. And that was, I mean, to this day, I can't remember doing that. But I have no reason to doubt what she said. So I guess something just happened in me that made me know that she was the one. And, you know, the thing of it is, I was so attracted. It's funny how God works. I was so attracted by, you know, well, her hair. I will tell the story. Her hair. She knows she had her hair right. You know, you could tell just how she carried herself. She knew she was right. And but her hair caught my attention. But her love for God is what caught my heart, and that's what really impressed me, because I had been through some things. I had been through a prior marriage and a divorce, and then kind of just really went through as far as being a single young man in the church. And I had seen some things, and some things that I really just was not impressed with a lot of the young women that I encountered. But one thing about Billy, her love for the Lord was just so strong and passionate and so refreshing that I knew that would be the one that would really be a blessing to me.
Oh, honey, I'm sitting here with my cheesing. I just want you to know that I'm all smiles. And I just want to let the young ladies know that what I prayed to God was that he gave me a man that loved him. Because I said, if he loves you, Lord, then he will know how to love me. And that is exactly what God gave me. He gave me a man that loved him, and he used the word passionately, and that's how he was, passionately in love with the Lord. And the one thing that I did also was, once I knew that he had been divorced, I was before emotions got involved, the first time that he came to visit me, I took him to my pastor. And I asked my pastor if he were free for me to marry, because I had never been married. I had a son, but I had never been married. But I asked asked my pastor if he were free to get married. Sometimes we allow our emotions to get involved before, you know, we seek God. And I was seeking God myself, but I just wanted for my man of God to tell me that it was okay. And he took him into his office, and he talked with him, and he got the lowdown on what was happening and, you know, what had happened to his prior relationship. And then he came out and he said, yes, daughter, he's free. So then it was a go from there. And I guess a little over a year after that, we were getting married. And it's been a blessing just to be with someone that loves you and loves God first and then loves you. It's just a blessing. And not that we haven't had hard times, right, honey?
We've been through some things. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. yeah, we, I mean, life, I tell anybody that probably one of the most difficult things that you'll ever do in life is to be married. But it's certainly just worth it, because when God puts two people together, those people are still those people. I'm still Albert Burns, and she's still Billie Jean. And sometimes Albert Burns and Billie Jean don't quite see eye to eye on things. But there's one thing that we see in unity, and that is that Jesus Christ is the center of our marriage. He's the center of each of our lives, and we commit it both to him and to each other to be together. So separation was just not an option. I don't know if she remembers me telling her, the first wife that I had left me. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to let you leave me. If you ever just get tired of me, you're just going to have to shoot me, because I'm not going anywhere. But God has just been gracious to us. We just love each other. We that love has just grown stronger and stronger throughout these coming up on 28 years. And I believe that 28 years from now, it'll be that much stronger.
Yes, yes, it will, honey. Well, we have, we're reminiscing, but we have another caller, and I'm going to bring that caller on. 910 is the area code. 910, are you there?
Yes, amen. Grace and peace.
Amen, amen. Who am I speaking with?
This is Apostle Johnson.
Oh, Apostle Johnson, how are you? Sister Adrienne asked you to call in, correct?
Yes, yes, amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Well, we are so happy that you're here. I'm going to bring her back on the line, because she was waiting for you to call in. Are you there, Sister Adrienne?
Yes, I am, and I wanted to introduce you all to this young man. This is Apostle Timothy Johnson. And he is a strong supporter of our ministry, and he's there in North Carolina. I don't know the distance you all are, but I wanted to introduce him to the host of this broadcast, Minister Billy Burns, and also to my dear friend, Elder Albert Burns. We wanted to introduce you to Apostle Timothy Johnson. I think, what part of North Carolina are you in, Apostle Johnson?
I'm in the Fayetteville, North Carolina area. From my understanding, you said they were in Apex, and that's only about 45 minutes to an hour away.
Okay, yes. Okay.
Fayetteville. That's right down the road.
Oh, okay. Well, he has a strong supporting audience there in North Carolina. I told him I want them to hook up with you all and call in on Saturdays and support this broadcast. You all in the Carolinas, and Apostle Johnson, these are my friends. I've been knowing them for almost 14 years now, and just a beautiful couple, and they've given me testimony. I'm all mushy out and something else. But
I remember, Apostle, because you were talking about Nino with him.
Oh, yeah, I was talking about getting Nino out there to his school.
Yeah.
He has a school for young men, so I'm going to let him tell you all a little bit about himself. So this is a connection. So, hey, he'll be on here to support you all when he can. God bless you. Go ahead, Apostle Johnson.
Amen. Certainly it's an honor and a privilege to have Kingdom Connection. What I try to do is try to be in support of everybody and what they're doing, because I believe in humbling myself before the Lord and trying to be a help. And so certainly, you know, I want to be able to get people to come on and to just listen and see what God is doing in this great ministry like I do with Evangelist Bernard and several others that have their lines that are going that are effective in ministry. One of the key things that I try to do is to just be there and to just encourage and to push to stir up the gift more inside because, you know, certainly there's certainly great ministry within you guys. And as a team, especially kingdom in the kingdom today, you need husband and wife teams that are strong, people that can compel others to understand that God didn't just give us one, but he gave us two, and he gave Adam a help meet, not a help mate, but a help meet so that Adam could become stronger. And when you look at you guys today and look at what you're doing in ministry, I think that is phenomenal, and it's always good to encourage, and it's good to see it from a real standpoint because a lot of people put on an image, you know, just for people to show like their lives are together or that they truly love each other when the reality is they are at each other's throats the moment that they come to get out of church or the moment that they're on around each other. But to do what you guys are doing and to do it effectively, it takes the love of Christ and it takes being connected to him the right way. And I think that God has set you guys together for such a time as this to set the example for others so that they can grow and see what it's like to experience real love for one another, real love on how to grow and how to get over things, that every day ain't sunny, but you can still get over and you can still move and continue to walk therein. And so it's an honor and a privilege to be a part of this broadcast this morning and what's going on. I've been burning the oil a little bit, if I may. I got off the line this morning about close to 4 a.m., and I was going to be here, excuse me for my tardiness, but I'm just honored to be here this morning, just honored with, like I said, with the grace and peace of God to be able to greet you and to also just be able to listen in on what he's doing, because certainly this is the area that I'm desiring in my life for God to just that helped me to be there and to be strong in ministry and for us to exalt and to build together. And when you've got a team that can worship together, boy, the enemy really begins to run because he said, my imp can't handle this. I might can handle a little bit of the blows, well, one of them, but, you know, I got both of them fighting me. Oh, my gosh, I can't handle this. Because as we understand, one can put 10,000 fights. So now we're understanding that who we are and what
yes.
type of power that we possess when we're together as a team. And and so, you know, effectively, you look at this ministry and you just get excited about it. You can't help but to get excited about who God is in the lives of a team, people that are effectively pouring into each other, you know, and compelling each other to get stronger, but, you know, covering. You know, as I was talking the other day, I preached a subject entitled Kill the Adam Mentality, and I talked about how if Adam wouldn't have never left her in the garden by herself, that the serpent wouldn't have ever been able to appear to her to talk to her. And I talked to couples about how oftentimes we get mad with one another, and then the first thing the man does or the woman does, they want to jump up and leave the house. And they want to come back and say, oh, I needed this time to cool off. So they left the house and they left it uncovered. So when they came back, they were exposed to so many other spirits being able to be subjective and be able to speak during that time. Oh, you don't need him. He leaving you. He running off. The serpent speaking. That's all it took for the serpent time enough to be in the garden to be able to speak to Adam, to be able to speak to Eve because he wasn't there. The serpent appeared to her and began to speak. Now, and so You know, it's important that we cover each other and that we show the importance of when that you don't leave your family uncovered, that men must cover their household, that women
yes.
must stick behind their man and be there and be stronger. But Adam began to go to, whenever the Bible said they found him naked in the garden, Adam began to, you know, God asked him, who told you you were naked? Adam immediately knew then, he was like, hold on. He didn't even want to answer. Then he gave a contrary answer. He said, it was the woman you gave me. Wait a minute, now you're going to blame God for you not covering what he's giving you. And that's what happens today in the church too much, that you find men and women that are upset and that are angry, that are families, that are couples, because of the fact that they left each other uncovered. And they allow too many people to get in that circle, to defeat that circle, that don't even have the beauty and the essence of relationship or and qualities themselves. But when you look at a couple like you that are in ministry and that are walking together, I truly encourage people to come around something like this, because it's a beautiful thing to see. It's a beautiful thing to experience.
Yes, 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 it is. Yes, we hear my husband and I, because we are what we portray now, this is how we are all the time. And I don't even call him by his name. He's been Honey since I told him that he was the sweetest man I ever met. And so I started calling him Honey even before we got married, and that's his name, Honey. And I say it with love. I, you know, if I get a little mad at him, I call him Albert, but other than that, I call him Honey. And it's just surprising to us, because we're just so natural and we just flow together, that when young women especially, or people in general, look at our marriage and they're inspired. And it's just amazing to us, because we're like, well, you know, we're not really doing anything. We're just being, you know, who we are. And it is a blessing, you know, when people say, we want a marriage like yours. And so then we're able to tell them, you know, well, we didn't seek to find someone, but we just told God that what we wanted someone that loved him. And when he told me that, I know that's what I prayed. And when he told me that that is also what he had been praying, he knew that it was a God thing, you know, that put us together. And that's so important. That is so important that you rely on God. We have our desires. And I tell young women, women, that, yes, we have the specs that we want. We want them tall. We want them brown skin. We want them light. We want them curly hair. And we could tell God all of that. But the most important thing that we need to tell him is that we want someone that loves him, and then not look necessarily at the outer appearance. That's important to some people, but it shouldn't be your main focus. It shouldn't be your main focus. So I just thank God for our relationship, and thank God for you coming on today, Apostle. I remember when Evangelist Adrian, did you call in to our broadcast before, or were you just on her line ministering?
I was on her line. Yeah.
Okay.
I was on our line ministering. Certainly, you know, this is a part of something that I'm going to begin to anchor and get the saints and God involved. I generally get a text out to everyone, or either I'll go on Facebook or somewhere and network and let saints of God know where I'm at and what I need them to do. And certainly this morning, with just getting up and I wasn't able to reach out as much, but certainly we'll begin on next week to begin to be a blessing and a part of this ministry, because I believe in kingdom building. I believe in the success of people and seeing people around us succeed in what they're doing. You're already successful because you stepped out in God and began to do what God has charged you guys to do. But now that part is done, now the rest begins to share it, and that you guys have a voice in the kingdom, so it needs to be heard the more. That's why God opened this platform for you guys and why God is doing everything that he's desiring to do within this season. So I continue to just speak to the glory of God in your lives and just speak it forth the more, that God will continue to take you globally like he is now on this network and being able to talk to people across this world and across this nation, and that he will continue to commence and do these things for us in this season.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, we certainly do want to thank you. And do you know the name of our ministry?
No, ma'am. I know that what it was based upon, just a little bit, but if you could just tell me.
Okay. The name of the ministry is They Overcame. And where Evangelist Adrian has ministers to come on, we're here for the glory of God. We minister because no one, calls in. But basically, we're here to get the testimonies of the saints of what God is doing in their life for encouragement, for deliverance, for the testimonies. And we come from, of course, Revelation, the scripture that says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So we want people to know what our God is doing. We want people to know that our God is still delivering, and he's still healing, and he's still prospering, and he's still blessing people. And so that's what we're here for, to get the testimonies of not only the saints, whoever has a testimony, and through, I believe, the testimonies, people that are not saved that call in will get saved, because they say, well, I want that God. I want somebody that's going to do those things for me, that's going to be there when nobody else is there for me. So that's what we're here for, Apostle.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. I think that's awesome, because out of all we get in all this word base that we receive, and all the people that are falling in ministry, that are going to prayer lines and going to blog talks and going to other different statements that people are doing, out of all of this, there should be some testimonies at the end, because there's no way we're getting fed so much food and we're not being there. But I just want to give a testimony on this week, if I can.
Amen.
Truly give honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is head of my life on the dawn and the anniversary of a Resurrection Sunday. I just thank God for him saving me.
Yes.
I thank God for his mercy and his grace. I thank him for blessing my children. I thank him for watching over them. I thank him for keeping my son. My son, he is getting ready to turn 16 years of age, and I was having some concern. He had came to stay with me during the spring break time, and I took him back to school in Raleigh on Monday. And he was wanting to change schools and go to another school. And I didn't understand it was something that was prerequisite, preset with his mother, and she was telling him he was gonna be able to go to another high school. And so I went in on Monday to
to withdraw him from the school and to get his stuff so that I could enroll him into another high school. And when I got there, I found out a whole lot that the district had changed, that I wasn't going to be able to do that, that it wasn't going to be possible. And so immediately my son took a rage of anger. You know, he's just mad, upset. He was not going to go to school. It wasn't going to work out. He had been missing, skipping school on first and third period, and I didn't know what we didn't know what was going on or why. We knew in the morning time he didn't like to get up, but mom would always drop him off at work. But his home is so close to the school, he would simply just leave and go back home. And we looked at his grades. The first semester grade was fine. He had some trouble, but then he just took an exam and just ate the exam. So the teachers and everybody else knew that he was not struggling academically. He just wasn't, something wasn't making him strive enough. But it caused him to be able to pass that first semester. So then grades came out Thursday for his second 9 weeks. And his grades looked nothing like the first 9 weeks. They looked in a downward spiral. And when we talked in the office with the administrator and the other people, he still was just frustrated and shut down and just closed. He didn't want to talk with the principal that was assigned to his freshman group. It was just like what he was saying was not effective at all. So we began to just talk and try to get an understanding and a grasp of what was going to be the best way to help him. And when we got outside the door while we were talking, and the head administrator of the school, the principal, came in, and he sat down beside him, and he just sat there, and he knew he wasn't in any type of trouble or anything like that. He just sat beside him, shook his hand, and he said to him, he said, "What are you doing up here, my friend?" Because his daughter and my son happened to be in the same middle school last year, so he knew of my son and didn't know of a bad reputation or a bad report. They were in some of the same classes. They sat down next to him, was just talking to him, and he said, "What are you doing up here, my son?" And he said, you know, he talked to him like he's his son. He said, "What are you doing up here, my son?" He said, "Oh, my dad is in there talking to him. You know, we're trying to find out something. We got this going on and that going on, and I just don't feel like being here anymore. I don't want to be here." And he talked to him like a man. He said, "You know, we can't really run all the time because what you're saying was the problem here, which the problem was, which my son never told me, but he was telling in. He got himself in a syndrome where because he was talking or dating certain young girls, that once they had a bad skill in a relationship, now they want to tell their cousin or older brother or whoever, and it caused something similar to like a bully syndrome or just, or I want to argue with you to see if you want to fight with me type situation. And,
right.
And, but he never disclosed that with that. So, you know, they weren't concerned with his safety or we're going to make them seem like, oh, we need to put a 24-hour security person around him or he's a snitch for the people where young people think. But this man began to talk to him and let him know that while you're here, I care about you the same way your father cares about you. And as long as you're here and try to do what you're doing, I'm going to do what I need to do on my part. So, you know, there's students in high school that work all throughout the school. Like, they come and take, do stuff up in their office or walk around or pick up attendance sheets or help this person or that person. So they begin to give them duties like that to assist them to track everything else that's going on so he'll desire to be there. And I report in God that when he went back to school on Tuesday, that he went to school all this week and that he remained in his class to get everything that he needed to do and everything turned around. So
amen.
For him to nail home these last 9 weeks so that he can go on to the 10th grade, and also the fact that we also instilled in him that in order for him to academically be able to score and athletically be able to play collegiate sports, that he must get these grades now. That the 11th and 12th grade
is it going to support your GPA? If you destroy it now, it's so tough to bring it up in 11th and 12th grade. You got to master it with A's. So
yeah,
we accomplished that on this week. I also saw when I picked him up yesterday, just spent time with me, that there's a new glowing anointing that is coming over his life that he can't die. And so I'm praying much and ask for the saints of God to be praying with me that God would continue to put a hedge of protection around him and allow his anointing to be on him, and that God would dare him to be different, and that God would show him that I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
And I know that he sees his father a lot, but when you're in different homes, it's very tough for you to be reluctant to show forth God's glory when everything in that environment is everything contrary to the Spirit of God. But the dad is over here to where everything about him is spiritual based, and your mom over here is a CEO of a dental office and has everything that is handed to her. So, you know, a lot of people with strong finances don't feel like that they need to serve the master. Some people who feel like they're dating all don't feel like that there's a desire or a need to take out of their schedule to have to go to church. So when he hasn't been in my environment, he hasn't been exposed to that. Neither does he see his mom doing those things. And so I've got to catch him right now in this phase that he's in. If I just pray throughout this testimony that I'm giving, that you all would pray with me, that my son would continue to grow in the greatness that he can't get from, because there's a mantle that is coming down. And so he's the firstborn son, and then my second son. And that's why I was saying to the Lord, I don't want it to be like some of the stories that we know in the Bible and people, to where it passed from this son and went to the next one. I want my son to be positioned for the excellence and the greatness that God has. But that's my testimony on today, that I'm excited that he's walking in excellence now. I'm excited that he's taking a stand. I'm excited that there was not anything going on this week to try to stop what was going on, because I was very concerned, and that was my prayer. But God has answered my earnest prayer on today.
Amen. What are your son's names, Apostle? What are your son's names?
Tamaris Johnson.
Johnson. I'm going to one of our sons. We have four sons. We have Mark, Christopher, Timothy, and Jonathan. And Mark was from a former relationship, but he is our son. He's not ever been a stepson or a half son. He's always been my husband's son, and he's always considered him as his dad. When he talks about, you know, his dad, he's talking about Albert Burns. But he went through, has a great ministry on his life. God has used him. He also is a prophet, and not necessarily walking in it at this point, but drawing closer to God, and that's our prayer. We have found, Apostle, that our one son, Christopher, has gone through a few things, but we had, I don't know if Evangelist is going to have her on, Pastor Ojeda Miley, who has a ministry here. I don't know if you know Pastor Miley, a great young woman of God. But anyway, she called Chris one day and told him that the Lord had put him on her heart to speak to her young men. She was having a men's meeting. And so Chris was surprised because he wasn't, you know, walking in ministry or anything, but the Lord put him on her heart. And so when Chris went to speak to her young man, surprised me that he said that he would do it. And when he went to speak to her young man, the thing that came out of his mouth is, God is going to get out of you what he put in you. Amen.
Wow.
So be encouraged. Sometimes our kids go through things that we don't want them to go through. You know, we just had a situation with Christopher where we were praying for him and sending the clarion call out for the saints to pray with him. And well, I kept encouraging my heart, not necessarily my husband, but my heart, that I got this. I have this. I am in control of this. And as it turned out, the situation resolved itself. It was a very serious situation also, actually. And God was in control. It looked impossible to us, but God was in control. So sometimes our kids go through things, not all the time. Our youngest son, like you said, was an athlete. And because of his athletic ability, he was taken under the wings of two coaches. He's a wrestler, taken under the wings of two coaches. And he went to a private high school from his sophomore year. He graduated. We didn't have to pay. I think the last year we paid $1,000. But prior to that, he went a $12,000 school a year. He went for free those 2 years, and then we paid $1,000 the last year. He did well academically. He was on the National Honor Society and went to college. First Nebraska, and then he finished in December here at UNC Chapel Hill. Didn't cost us a penny. So some of our kids go through, and they're selling along. He's in a ministry. He's working in the ministry. He has a son that kind of disappointed us, but, you know, God is in control. God is in control. So we will be praying for, you said, spell his name for me. We will be definitely holding him up.
It's Tamaris. T-Y-M-A-R-I-S.
Okay, I'm sorry. It didn't come clear. It wasn't clear.
Tamaris. T-Y-M-A-R-I-S.
Okay, Jamal. Okay. All right. This is my husband, Pastor Johnson.
God bless you as well, John.
God bless you as well, my friend. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. We're just glad to have made your acquaintance. We're not that far apart.
Amen.
It's just a few minutes down the road. I've been there for some services in the past. So I certainly would be happy to fellowship with some. So let's make sure that we stay in touch, make sure we get our numbers. I think your number showed up on the broadcast, so that's a good number. We can speak to you as a fan. We can just get together sometime.
Amen, amen. Certainly it would be honored likewise to be able to fellowship. That's what it's about. It's about kingdom building and relation and connecting with kingdom folk that believe in what God is doing in each other's lives.
Yes.
You know, that's the biggest thing, and what the biggest problem is with the church is that we're critics to each other instead of being helpers to each other. And,
yes.
And the moment that we begin to open up and be helpers to each other, you know, one to another, and just give God glory for where we are, then the moment that things begin to get, we begin to become together stronger as one and put the enemy on alert. But when you it's this thing to where I preached a message entitled, which I'm getting ready to do a part two to this series. I knew God was giving it to me as a series once it came. But I'm talking from a subject, mistaken identity. And we're talking from mistaken identity. I'm also talking about the identity crisis in the church. Because people are like a seesaw. One minute they're wishing and supporting, oh my God, the glory of God is on you. And the next minute they're whispering to somebody, he ain't saved, she ain't saved, she ain't got it. I don't know what made me connect with him. I don't know what they got going in their life. The enemy speaking words like that to people's lives. But I thank God when it's divine kingdom connection that happens. But when there's schizophrenia in the church and there's, you know, and there's no, the only antidote is to let the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God break the yoke and break that chain of bondage that has that form of witchcraft starting to where we're coming against one another or trying to feel like that we're in competition. That's what I'm not a competition God. You know, I've given everybody the spirit of excellence, but it's, you know, to walk therein, but it's up to people whether they walk in it. But I'm not a competition. I'm not a competition God. I don't put ministries against ministries or build that. That's not of me. That's why he talks about when we build a ministry, either we're going to build it on a solid foundation or we're going to build it on a sand foundation. And it's sad to say, but 70% of the church is built on a sand foundation. It's standing, but after a moment, here comes the sinkhole. And so, you know, I honor God for true men and women of God. I thank God today for this divine connection. Certainly on next week, you'll see my support, and also you'll see the support of other kingdom believers and people that I have that are leaders that I just believe in getting aboard and connecting.
Amen. I don't even think we're still broadcasting. I mean, I don't think we're even still recording. But it was such a blessing to come on, Apostle, and we appreciate it. Like my husband said, we will be happy to fellowship with you. Now, do you have a church? Do you have a church?
No, ma'am. Certainly, I'm overseeing ministry. We're in the process of getting ready to God wanted to complete some things in my life, and I'm one of those people that no matter what position I ever have attained in the kingdom or been ordained in, I've always been humble and been worried about pleasing God and not concerned with men. But the Lord told me, he said, son, until I give you your help me, I'm going to have to allow you to operate in your office, because every time you begin to start a church, there are women that flock to the ministry, and you're excited and belated for being the pastor over them and overseeing their lives, but they're coming with all the hidden agendas. And he said, now it's like we're worshiping, but we're not worshiping to the glory and the fullness of me. It's like they want you to see that they can worship and they can praise, but their worship and praise is counterfeit. So you've got to be careful. And so I'm careful in this hour because of the fact that I know that that God is getting ready to complete me within this year and allow me to step out and to begin to go forth in my ministry. I have my students that I do ministry with and some other things that God has blessed in such a way. God is just continuing to bless us. But our ministry is New Joy International Ministry, and we have six different ministries that sit under us currently. And God is just good, you know. In this season, if we thank God, and I'm in a mold where I don't have time to be unconscious and not aware of who I am or where I'm at the time, as the word saints is defined as. I'm kind of excited about where he has me at this point, but I know he's completing some things in me this year so that he can launch me back again. One of my key ministries is over in Kenya, and I'm getting ready to go there to do a few days at the end of next month and leading into into May. And so extremely excited about what he's doing and where he has me in this hour of my life.
Amen.
Tony, were you going to say something?
Just to finish up by saying that with us being parents of four boys, we certainly can share in your concern and your wanting for moving the lives of your sons. And we're going to be praying to that end along with you. We're going to be your prayer partners because we certainly know that these are the times that our young men certainly need the prayers of the church, of the saints, and of their parents behind them. So, but your sons have also become our sons as well, so that we will be in prayer with you for them.
Amen. Praise the Lord, God. I thank God for that. That's something I don't share with a lot of people. Certainly I felt led to share that this morning as a praise report and a testimony about where I know God is carrying it, because when you decree and declare something, then you look for it to manifest, because it's decree and declare it on earth and in heaven. And so, I'm just excited about it, and having two other bona fide believers that pray and that know God, not just calling on him, but knowing, and that he knows them. That prayer will begin to change and lose some things. So I thank God for you on today. I feel with you.
Amen.
Well, we're going to end the broadcast on that note. Apostle, I have your number, so we'll be giving you a call, okay?
Amen. God bless.
Okay. Amen. God bless you. And we, I don't even think we're recording now, honey. So,
no, we're not.
Okay. All right. All righty. Well, then we're just going to end it, and we say God bless until next week.
They overcame by the word of the testimony.
Babe, you want to say a prayer before we end?
Amen. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for all things. We thank you for the fellowship of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the fellowship of the saints, for all those who have tuned in today, for all those who will listen in through the archives. Father, in the name of Jesus, the words that have gone forth today, we know that they are from you, and we just trust and believe and are just so excited about the fact that they are ministering to those who you have ordained to hear them, those even who will call into the future and listen into that today's recording and past recordings, that those words, because your word is alive. Your word is never failing. Your word is truth, and it just won't come back void. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for healing. We thank you, Lord God, for turning around in people's situations. We thank you for every testimony that has gone forth, knowing that they are seeds that will sprout up as testimonies for others. In the name of Jesus, every prayer that is prayed, we know that is answered, and we just look forward to hearing the results and the testimony of what you're doing in the lives of your people. And most of all, that the saints of God will be edified, mm-hmm. and that we will continue to just go out and spread the good news of who you are and what you're doing in our lives, that the kingdom will grow, that others will be drawn in, come running in and saying, mm-hmm. what must I do also to be saved or receive what God has for me? That is what we are here for, Lord. In the name of Jesus, let it be. Bless this host in the name of Jesus, and our overall host, Evangelist Bernard, just bless, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and bless the ministry of Apostle Johnson right now,
yes,
and his home, his children, Lord. Right now, Lord God, let there even be greater miracles, greater blessings in the name of Jesus, and not just these two young men, but, Lord God, throughout your kingdom,
throughout the kingdom.
Lord God, bless our young men, encourage them, and give us, even as the older saints, a ways to encourage them and to nurture them in the name of Jesus, that they, just as Jesus did, will grow in grace, hallelujah, before God and man. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb.
And the word of their testimony.
Amen. Until next week.